to slaying the 300 at Thermopylae, it began. It didn't end at Ford's Theater, it began. It didn't end at Pearl Harbor, it began. It didn't end on 9/11, it began. And here and now, you arrogant and ignorant, evil and foolish, traitors and enemies, foreign and domestic, nothing is ended. You have awakened the American giant and filled us with terrible resolve. Your masks won't silence us. Your riots don't scare us. You're not as disciplined as the British. You're not as organized as the Nazis. You're not as brutal as ISIS. We beat them all. Freedom is never given. It is earned. It is won. It is fought for. It is taken. So take it. Life is a special operation. America, a grand experiment, now gone awry. American reservations return to us as FEMA camps. Slavery sins as big pharma chains. Tobacco, wine, and mana were creator medicines gifted to connect us. Now they corrupt us. Ukraine is America's biolab. America is the global cabals. Zelensky played a president on TV, ran a virtual campaign, had 30% support, won in a surprise landslide. Sound familiar? Ukraine was overtly invaded by Russia. America covertly by everyone. But slavery is a choice. Fear is a reaction. Courage is a decision and contagious. And death? Well, just ask Jesus. I'm a retired soldier, special agent and spy, turned whistleblower, warrior, served and sabotaged, rejected and redeemed, betrayed and saved, rejecting revenge, humbled and blessed, repurposed in redemption as chaplain, leader, teacher, and truth teller. Now your intelligence officer, following God, leading my family, and any that choose to join on our long walk to faith and freedom. Welcome. I'm Jeff Prather, and this is the Prather Point.
Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, and we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
Hi, I'm Del Bigtree, and thanks for watching Brighteon TV.
If you want to find out what's really going on, watch Brighteon TV.
Jeff Prather, this is the Prather Point. That was my patreon.com/Jeffrey Prather, where you can join at $5, $15, or $25 levels. At the Point Patriot $25 level a month, you're getting the daily training videos you saw there performed by my wonderful daughter, 15 transcripts of sermons and speeches with all the connections, deep dives there as well. Lots of benefits there. And at the 5 curated news stories, go to jeffreyprather.locals.com for free as well. You can also go into the Brighteon store. My wife and I love Mike's stuff and use the Prather Point for a 5% discount as well. And you can also go into the jeffreyprather.com shop and get the new Fallout Rescue Kit to reduce the radiation that is poisoning America. That's following up the Jab Rescue Kit, which is very popular. I use it. I'm an old beat up vet. The government has rode me hard and put me away wet. I've used it. My kids have used it. It really helps. And here's why. Take a look at this quick little radiation meter done from a Liberty brother in Australia.
An unsuspecting population radiation. Look at that. 2 volts, 3 volts. See that bounce of 3 there? So that's 3,000 millivolts.
I don't think there's a sound with that, but that's okay.
Maximum.
So he's showing that these are well above.
The international courts, 3 volts. That's 4,000 they're hitting there now. 4,000 are cooking them to death. Now, microwaving the population to death. They don't know. That's why they call a secret killer. Secret silent killer. 2,000, hit 4,000 there before. And the maximum the international courts have said is 200 for chronic.
So that's why I'm saying get your Faraday bags in jeffreyprather.com shop, not just so that the government's not listening to you and the AI is not tracking your behaviors, but also to protect yourself. A lot of my cast this week have shown targeted individuals who have been attacked by DO weapons, have more solutions, options, and answers in the jeffreyprather.com shop by next week, besides Faraday bags as well. Very important to understand. And I hearken back to one of my earlier casts this week. This was kind of a big groundbreaking week. Lots of really important stories. But one is, and of course, I am a longtime Tucson, Arizona resident. I worked the Nogales, Arizona border as a D agent for a decade. I attended and taught at the Military Intelligence School at Fort Huachuca. And then I've taught, my dojo has been there for 30 plus years. So longtime Tucson resident, very involved in the Arizona election fraud through Team America. And this past week, the UAPD chief resigned, and UAPD is being taken over by the FBI, by former agents and also undercover agents. So I've talked about this, that the FBI is not a law enforcement organization. They're an intelligence organization. They run information influence operations. They say they only do them overseas, but that is a lie. Just like CrowdStrike and the Russian dangle of Trump as a Russian agent was an ability, therefore, to go ahead and interfere with the election, because the 2020 election was stolen. The 2022 Arizona election was stolen. So Arizona is an inflection point. I call Arizona America's Alamo. Now, they're still fighting very hard, But Fast and Furious, How I Became a Whistleblower, started in Arizona at DEA, where I worked, where the DEA swore under oath in the Niebla Zambada federal trial and said, yes, we had to deal with the Sinaloa cartel to run drugs north in exchange for the Fast and Furious guns going south. Benghazi was an international covert gun and running operation, just like Fast and Furious. Syria was an international covert gun running operation. Ukraine is a covert international gun running operation. Afghanistan was and is a covert international gun running operation. And so this is a transshipment inflection point where the global cabal is destroying and taking over countries. And that's why Russian and Putin are fighting back, because Putin wants Russia to remain a nation state. And he's third generation kinetic warfare fighting against the Ukrainian proxy state of NATO and the United States by bioweapons. And I assess that China now may be doing the same thing for the Taiwanese and Indonesian bioweapons. I know this is a lot to cover, but the inflection point today is Arizona and Tucson in particular, because an hour south of Tucson is Nogales, Arizona, paralleled by Nogales, Sonora. Worked lots of operations there, cross-border operations, some of the most dangerous things I ever did. An hour and a half above Tucson is Phoenix. That's the transshipment point, east and west, for drugs, people, and weapons, the dark economy. And that's what's happening right now. So Michael Yan, my friend who also served in Special Forces, is down in the Darien Gap, where I've also spent a lot of time. And that is the link between South America and Central America to North America, where all of the drugs, weapons, and people, human slavery and chemical slavery, come across. And take a quick look at this little video. There are 24 to 25 buses every day. This is organized and controlled coming up. The Title 42 expires next Monday. Doesn't really matter because they are changing the face of the country. They are displacing Americans the same way Americans and Spanish displaced the tribes. The same sin that was committed by Americans and colonists are now being committed as well. We are being pushed out and displaced. The kinetic covert teams are doing all the killing coming across. That's what you just saw with the Texas shooter. He had been deported 4 or 5 times. That's the same thing that happened in Arizona in last October with Dervish, who was moving all around. This is controlled by the deep state, the storefront of that being the FBI and CIA, but deeper dives go into DARPA, BARDA, and ARDA from there. And they are controlling that. They are displacing so that they can run their dark economy of drugs, weapons, and people. That's what's happening. And it's centered around Tucson. Because again, Arizona is America's Alamo. That's very, very important to understand. The Alamo is still hanging on by its fingernails. We're working with Mark Fincham. Arizona Supreme Court's going to hear Carrie Lake's case. Abe Hamadeh just got a response from Elon Musk. So Arizona is this inflection point in America's Alamo, where all of this is coming across and has been coming across. It's what made me a whistleblower. The Fast and Furious guns and drugs deals, what's happening now on the border, that's very, very crucial to understand. And while the U of A PD loses its cops, loses its guns, loses its uniformed officers after there was this murder, and I assess that this guy Dervish was run by the deep state, the FBI is now taking all that over to run the Tucson and the U of A as an inflection point and possibly a very coming soon mass casualty bioweapon. Marburg is being released. It was initially released in the subways of New York, didn't seem to work real well, and that is happening. And the goal of that is to bring about smart cities. Now, you got to remember, Ukraine is the first smart country, but Ukraine was, is, and will lose to Russian forces. There's very few people saying that, but this is the global cabal's NATO and the US puppet front for a digital country. And Tucson is an inflection point for the deep state, which is part of the global cabal's digital city. And so the Team America Arizona team leader, who is doing tireless work, and Team America Arizona doing tireless work on elections, on all kinds of stuff constantly, and the Team America Arizona Leader got the first Team America coin out, has also brought my attention to another patriot who is alerting us to the dangers of the digitalization of slavery, so that we are digitally enslaved as well as being chemically enslaved, intellectually enslaved, and literally physically enslaved as well. And that's Peter Norquist, and who's going to walk us through the plans for the deep state, particularly in Tucson, which is an inflection point. So, Peter, thank you for your patience and for your patriotism, and welcome to the Prather Point.
Thank you very much, Jeffrey. It's a real pleasure to join you here, and I appreciate you joining or inviting me onto your show. So just briefly, by way of introduction, I moved to Tucson in 1996 to start grad school at the University of Arizona. I ultimately ended up in the joint program in linguistics and anthropology. My wife got a job here, so we stayed, and I ended up staying associated and affiliated with the University of Arizona as a visiting scholar in anthropology. In the last few years, I have not taught because of the whole COVID situation. So I've been finding other things to do with myself. Primarily, I'm the first vice chair of the Pima County Libertarian Party. And so we are trying to do our best to do what we can to help our community to get free again. So more to the point of what you were talking about, I agree with a lot of what you're saying about Arizona and Tucson being an inflection point. We in Pima County are part of what's called the Sun Corridor, which is basically a giant smart project that is going to build around a central nexus of Maricopa County, linking through Pinal County into Pima County, and then it's going to expand to the north through Yavapai and Coconino, and to the south to include Santa Cruz and Cochise County. And that is intended to be one large surveillance corridor when they're all done. So what I want to do right now is walk through a little bit of how this is being coordinated through the United Nations. I put a presentation together originally at the request of a friend of mine who did a Health Needs Summit here in Tucson. And she asked me to basically outline what are called the Sustainable Development Goals of the United Nations and how they are being implemented here locally in Pima County and in Tucson. So in the next 10 minutes, I just want to briefly go through what those are. And then we can discuss how they're being implemented in our community a little more in the next segment. So to start with, this is kind of the common graphic right here that you'll see when you look into the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. There's 17 of them altogether. They're very comprehensive, and each one of them relates to a different sphere of influence in our life and our economy. So if we can advance to the next slide, there are different aspects to this that are available. What you're looking at right here are editions of reports that are published annually. There are global reports for the entire world, regional editions, subnational editions, and so on. And if we can take a look at the next slide, the World Economic Forum, I'm sure you're familiar with, they have a whole section of their strategic intelligence website dedicated to the Sustainable Development Goals, complete with different links to different aspects to them and full reports on them. If we can go to the next slide. There are lesson plans available to teachers at all levels, including secondary education. And then if we can go to the slide after that, one of the things that I try to teach people is that even though these goals are couched in a certain language that involves, basically there's three pillars. There's the environment, there's the economy, and then there's a social aspect. And the people who put these together were good wordsmiths, but you have to learn how to translate. And so one of the things I do is I teach people to take a term like eliminate, for example, and reread it as obscure. A word like ensure, reread it as enforce, and so on. And in that way, it makes it a little bit easier to see what the agenda actually is because you're translating. So if we can go to the next slide, please. Occasionally, words just are inverted completely. So justice can actually mean injustice, and empower can mean disempower. And so there are three main things that are usually used in the United Nations report on these SDGs to blame different things on that are actually covert goals that I'll discuss briefly here. And these three things are the recently declared COVID pandemic since 2020, the war in the Ukraine, and then climate change. And one of the things I predict is that the banking crisis that just started this year is going to be one of the points that's going to be blamed for a lot of the restructuring that we're going to see going into 2024. So let me just give you an example of how this works. So if we can actually go to slide number 26. Yes, thank you. So I'm just going to focus a little bit on the first of the 17 goals and show you how we kind of look at this, and then I'll go through the others fairly quickly. So the first one, the way the language actually reads, is they are wanting to end poverty in all of its forms everywhere. And the way that I translate this, the key word there is end. You want to read that as normalized. So you want to understand this is actually normalizing poverty in all of its forms everywhere. And I think of this as kind of the you'll own nothing and be happy goal. So if we can go to the next slide, please. So what is involved in this, in its actual implementation, are things you have to understand the difference between absolute versus relative poverty. So with absolute poverty, people are either impoverished or they're not on an objective scale. Relative poverty means relative to each other. And what they're actually doing is they're using the latter term here, because people can live on $2 a day. And if that is true for everyone, no one is technically considered to be in poverty. So some of the things that this goal is expected to actually usher in are going to be things that we usually associate with welfare. So food credits, housing subsidies and handouts, things that are meant to create dependency. The concept of universal basic income is related to this goal. And then offering a regular minimum credit to a population dependent on the government's welfare could be interpreted as ending poverty. And I also want to note that redistribution of wealth is a large part of this, which from a libertarian point of view, of course, is government-sanctioned theft. So if we can go to slide 28, the next slide. So there are different targets that are used with this, and it's also important to look at how the language is being used. So what the target is that I chose here is by 2030, reduce at least by half the proportion of men, women, and children of all ages living in poverty in all its dimensions, according to national definitions. The phrases that I put in purple there are crucially open to definition. They can be read different ways. So the terms here are disturbingly vague, right? And crucially, there's more than one way to reduce the proportion of people living in poverty, including making sure that they simply go away, as in a population reduction scheme. Okay, so if we can skip the next slide and then go to slide 30. Yeah, there you go. The final thing that I usually draw people's attention to here is the first part of the report. So this is the most recent report, the 2022 report. And where it mentions a few different things here. So the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic reversed the steady progress of poverty reduction. So here you can see them blaming COVID for something that is technically to the average person, something that is negative, it's undesirable. But you have to understand that this is their covert way of bragging. This is actually something that is desirable from the point of view of the people running this program. And so the unprecedented reversal is being further exacerbated by rising inflation and the impacts of the war in Ukraine. So there's their reference to Ukraine. And then they mention how many people, because of these combined crises, are going to be forced into poverty, which is actually an end goal in all of this. So that's an example of how you want to go through these goals. So I don't think that I have time actually to go through the other 16. So what I would like to do is skip ahead really quick to, let's skip ahead to slide 116 if we can. Thank you. So ultimately, each of these goals, like I mentioned, is targeted at a different part of our social infrastructure. And so I've got a short list of them here. So they involve property, food, health, education, gender, water, energy, economy, infrastructure, inequality, cities, production and consumption, climate, sea, land, institutions, and finally global partnerships. So you can see that's a really comprehensive list. And what they are wanting to do is basically institute top-down control over every aspect of our lives. And they're doing this in conjunction with the World Economic Forum. So there's one good way to illustrate this is there's two sort of concepts that have become fairly well known recently, both involving the structure of municipalities. So there's something called the 15-minute city, which is meant to basically create zones of habitation where people are essentially restricted to 15 minutes within their home as judged essentially by a driving metric. And they will be, if everything goes according to plan, restricted to certain living environments and so on. The other is the smart city, which is basically a technological concept where you're living in a structure where everything is monitored. The first concept, the 15-minute city, is primarily a United Nations project. The smart city is a World Economic Forum project. They go hand in hand. You have to see them separately, but the end goal is to have a merger of these two concepts. And so that is one of the things that is being beta tested here in Pima County, and especially in Tucson, where we have plans to do this, including a recent proposition, Prop 412, which is nominally to increase energy expenses, but it's going to create a slush fund for the climate action initiative related to this 15-minute city concept.
Truly excellent intelligence analysis. I learned a lot from that. Very clear. I've worked Venezuela, and I've said we're going to be like Venezuela, and that's what I see happening is the marginales, the people who can't afford anything, are really just in poverty living around the metropoles. But we'll talk more about that after this break. This is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point with my very special guest, Peter Norquist, explaining the strategy of the deep state in the World Economic Forum. Right back with you after this.
Freedom of speech is a basic human right that has been hard won and granted to all law-abiding Americans. As such, we should not take our freedom of speech and expression for granted. This is more important now than ever before, since world governments and the mainstream media often try to suppress those whose opinions differ from the so-called official narrative. Here at FridayOnStore.com, we are dedicated to fighting for every American's right to speak their mind without the fear of censorship or suppression. That's why every purchase you make at FridayOnStore.com supports our pro-liberty video sharing platform, Frideon.com, so we can keep bringing you all the latest unrestricted videos mainstream media doesn't want you to see. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with the Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build the quietest suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KellyKey.com with free shipping.
Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, and we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Prather. This is the Prather Point. We are analyzing the strategy of taking over the inflection point of Tucson because it's an hour away from Nogales and 2 hours away from the major city of Phoenix. I've talked this week earlier about how the FBI is taking over U of A PD. The campus is always an essential center for the communists. And just a note I'm getting in right now that one of the former FBI who are going to take over, Jared L. Wise, is a intelligence personnel. He doesn't have a record until 1983. All of a sudden he appears. This is what you see with Peter Strzok too, who has never went to the FBI Academy as I did. And they just change credentials. The FBI would use DEA credentials overseas because we carried guns overseas, or FBI. And so this is the deep state intelligence apparatus inserted itself into the U of A and then gonna spread out from there. But let's get back to Peter and his excellent intelligence analysis of the exploitation of Tucson through the WEF and UN plans for sustainable cities and 15-minute cities. Please go ahead, Peter.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Jeffrey. So yeah, so if we can start on slide 120. One of the things that, one of the key ways that this whole strategy is implemented is through local leadership. And so what the United Nations does is deceptively use global programs and institutions, and it tries to disguise them as local programs. And one of these programs that is important here in Arizona is called the Climate MERS. So the Climate MERS program is basically a program where they're trying to build political will for federal and global climate action. And there's hundreds of mayors that have signed on to this already. But for our purposes, two of them that are important are Tucson Mayor Regina Romero, and then Phoenix Mayor Kate Gallego, who's actually the vice chair of the Climate Mayors. And they have representatives in five major cities right now. So Flagstaff, Phoenix, Tempe, Tucson, and Bisbee. If we can go to the next slide. And one institution that's important in instituting all of this is called ICLEI, which stands for the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, but today it simply calls itself Local Governments for Sustainability. And what they do is they basically get people to sign on. So they get either city councils and mayors to sign on, or they get supervisors for counties to sign on. And they give them all sorts of packets and perks. They provide them with software. They provide them with packets and packages, blueprints from other communities, so that they can start implementing things in their own communities. And one of the ways that they do this, if we can go to the next slide, slide 122, is to get them to put together something like Tucson's Climate Action Hub. And so the way this worked in Tucson is that the mayor, Regina Romero, declared a climate emergency in 2020. And so if you'll remember, this was right when COVID was breaking, right? So everyone's attention was on COVID. No one was really paying attention to what was going on at the local level. And so it was the perfect time for her to kind of sneak this in. So it establishes a goal of carbon neutrality by the year 2030. And what the mayors and the different and other municipal leaders are asked to do is they're asked to implement a multi-pronged plan that involves things like instituting electric vehicles, preparing infrastructure changes like road diets, narrowing roads, putting out alternative energy infrastructure like solar and wind and things like that. And they do this partly, if I can go to the next slide, through what are called visioning workshops. And so I've got a couple of pictures of those here. And what they do is they invite community members to participate in these group visioning sessions. And they use something called the Delphi technique, which is a way to basically take a predetermined goal and then present it to people and lead them toward that goal in a way that allows them to think that it's their own idea. And it often uses deceptive and honestly very infantilizing strategies. So there's a group called Sustainable Tucson that did one of these recently here in Tucson. And a friend of mine attended. And basically what happened is they gave them poster boards and magazine cutouts that had been pre-prepared at the University of Arizona. And then they asked them to make a poster board collage of Tucson now and Tucson in 2030. And they gave them different sets of materials for each point in time. And interestingly, the Tucson Now collage did not include something like potholes. So they couldn't put potholes up for, you know, their vision of Tucson Now. But they did have that for Tucson 2030. And so, if we can go to, let's see, if we can go to slide number 126.
Oh, no, potholes are a big issue in Tucson. Everybody complains about the potholes all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, no, it's one of those things. It's really mundane, right? And everyone expects their roads to be in good working order. And we're infamous for the potholes. You know, if you go to different parts of the country, you people from Tucson are often amazed at like how nice the roads are on, to drive on. Here, like people in election time will promise to fix the potholes and then nothing gets done. And you wonder, where's that money going? And, you know, it's probably going somewhere else besides where it's being dedicated.
That was the downtown trolley that nobody rides as well. That fits right into this. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Well, and that trolley, see, they intend to ultimately build that out because with this climate action plan that was, It was passed at the beginning of March. It's called Tucson Resilient Together. If I have a chance, I will get to that in the slides, but I just want to note that now that part of this plan is to massively reduce passenger vehicles by 40%. And they want to build out a lot of this infrastructure. So they want to expand the trolley, for example. And public transportation right now is a mess because we've had crime exploding in Tucson. We've got a group here called the Tucson Crime Free Coalition that deals only with this. And we've got people who are using the public transportation, including the trolley, I think, to do hit and runs on businesses. So they get out, they go in, they shoplift, they come back. People are vomiting on the public transportation. They're defecating on it. I don't know what it must be like to be a driver. So, you know, that's some of what we're dealing with right now in the midst of all of this. All the Tucson leadership is in La La Land, wanting to institute all of these different infrastructure changes that are driven by the United Nations. So if we can go back and look at slide 126 real quick. One of the things I want to point out, so in my presentation, I focused within Pima County. So I wasn't really looking at Maricopa or at ASU, but I did want to point out in one slide here that ASU has what's called the Global Institute of Sustainability and Innovation that is leading a lot of this up in Maricopa. And Tucson does have two people on the steering committee of this. So we've got a woman named Fatima Luna, who's the ICLEI advisor that's been assigned specifically to the mayor and to the city council, and who leads them through weekend retreats where they do things like compare Tucson to Fortaleza, Brazil. And they talk about how we can make our public transportation system more efficient, you know, the same as some other other countries and things like that. And we've got this guy, Daniel Bursak, who's the principal planner for the city of Tucson, who's on that steering committee as well. And so there's this integration between Pima County and Maricopa County that's happening, and they're trying to build in Pinal County, which is the county that is the bridge between the two, with something called the Arizona Tech Corridor. So you're seeing a lot of electrical vehicle manufacturing, for example, move into Pinal County and some other smart projects as well, because what they're wanting to do with the Sun Corridor that I mentioned earlier is build a central spine with these three counties before they expand northward and southward. If we can go to slide 127, just the next slide. One of the things that I want to show you here is with these visioning sessions I was talking about, they try to legitimize these by bringing in the faith community. This is actually one of my favorite slides in my presentation. So I list several groups here that have hosted or supported these visioning sessions. And then I give a couple of books here. Where they are trying to basically sort of connect the idea of the Green New Deal, the Green Agenda, and sustainable development with Christianity specifically. So I've got an image of something called the Eco Bible, and then the Green Good News. And I think the subtitle of that is Jesus' Path for a Sustainable, Enjoyable Life. So you see the word sustainable, that's always a clue these days that you're looking at this agenda. If we can go to slide 129. Plan Tucson is another thing that is going on right now concurrently with the Tucson Resilient Plan, which is the specific climate action plan. Plan Tucson, in contrast, is more of a community development plan. It is also focused on concepts like sustainability and like the triad of social goals, economic goals, and environmental goals. But this one is being implemented a little bit more slowly. There's a timeline where we're going to go through stages to ultimately have people basically educate voters about this, and then we're going to have them provide input going into 2024. Ultimately, the goal is to get this onto the ballot in November of 2025. And that is going to basically be used as a pincer along with the Tucson Resilient Together Climate Action Plan to say, look, the community wants these things. So now we're basically going to use your tax dollars to start implementing these United Nations Sustainable Development Goals and getting this 15-minute city and smart city infrastructure put into place. And it's being done covertly right now, but at that point it will be overt because they're going to claim that it's what the public wants. So I mentioned earlier, if we can go to slide 133, there are different NGOs that are used, so non-government organizations that are promoted as grassroots organizations, you know, do-gooder organizations that are wanting to essentially improve our lot. You know, they're wanting to do what they can for the community, for the environment, and so on. And so I just want to take a look at a couple of those, and then I'll slow down a little bit, Jeffrey, so we can have some discussion. But Sustainable Tucson is one of the two big ones that we've got right here. And so, you know, as you can see on this slide, they're focused on building regional resilience and sustainability. They want equitable and resilient communities, and so on. And so if we can go to the very next slide, they have this project ST2045, Envisioning Our Sustainable Future, where again, they host these workshops that I was discussing that are managed partly through the University of Arizona. So, you know, I mentioned Kathleen Kennedy in this slide, who's one of the people who's overseeing this. And then the other one I want to mention, if we can go to slide 136, there's a group called Tucan, the Tucson Climate Action Network. And they are starting to get mobilized and a lot more visible right now. So when I put this slide together, they were only a Facebook group. They actually have a full independent internet site now. I haven't updated this slideshow yet with that. But they've got booths at our local farmer markets, and they are interestingly aligned with a lot of us in saying that we need to vote no on this Proposition 412 I mentioned that's going to create this 15-minute city slush fund. But what they're saying is that we need to vote no because we're not doing enough for the climate. We're kowtowing to Tucson Electric Power to basically twist their arm and actually do even more to create climate resiliency. So, and they're used as an on-the-ground group to basically try to educate people, propagandize them really, that we're in this climate emergency and we need to listen to the mayor and city council and basically do what they tell us when they tell us. And it's interesting because there have been a couple of meetings with the local mayors recently, so involving some of the other Pima County mayors from places like Oro Valley, Sahuarita, Marana, and then a Hispanic Chamber of Commerce meeting that also involved a couple of Mexican mayors just south of the border. And apparently the other mayors think that Hina is nuts. You know, she was talking to a couple of the Mexican mayors, the Nogales mayor, because there's two Nogales mayors, right? There's the US side and there's the Mexican side. And then one of the other local mayors, and she was saying, hey, it's going to be great when you guys are able to start producing electric vehicles in Mexico and you can get that production line going and we can start moving them up here into Pima County. And they were apparently looking at her like she had green hair. So I find it encouraging that not everyone else is on board with this. This seems to be something that's happening specifically in Tucson. And Jeffrey, I want to stop and pause. I've got actually a whole section on the University of Arizona, but I see we've got like 5 minutes left. So I want to let you have a chance to ask questions or make the decision if we want to go there or just discuss this a little bit before we end.
Oh, thank you. And that is excellent intelligence analysis of the battlefield, what I call IPB, intelligence preparation of the battlefield. But I think in the last 5 minutes, I want to ask you how people can find you and also how other cities, other patriots can do the same thing in other cities because it's certainly necessary. I know Team Arizona is all over working with you, but how can people follow you and how can people do this same process in other cities across America?
Okay. All right. So that's a great question. So in terms of people finding me, I have my own website. There are a couple of websites that I've just started managing, and I'm actually building a website right now that will give all of these links and list all of this information. I'm hoping to have it done by the end of the month. But for now, the way you can contact me is through my email. And that is path27@protonmail.com. So path27@protonmail.com. I am very happy to receive email from anyone who has questions or wants to correspond more about this. And I'm also part of the Tucson and Pima County area Team America. So, you know, any Team America members who want to contact me, just go through those channels and I'm happy to speak to people in that way. In terms of how you would want to do this, you know, one of the reasons we actually did this, the friend of mine I mentioned, her name is Drew Heaton. She's the chair of the Pima County Libertarian Party and also the leader of a group here called Humans for Humanity Coalition, who hosted the Health and Human Rights Summit. She asked me to do this so we could build a template that could be copied for other communities. And so when I get the website finished, it's going to be really easy to kind of see how to do this. But in the meantime, the way that I do this is I go to the websites for the different governments, local governments. So that basically is state government, county government, and city or town government. And all you do is you go to their main page, and then there's a few key search terms that you'll use. So the big one is sustainable and sustainability. So you type that into their search bars. They all have a search bar somewhere on their site, and then see what comes up. And so I did this, I'm doing this for the other counties in Arizona right now. And I'm happy to say that when you do it in some of the peripheral counties, so like in the West, Mojave, La Paz, and in the East, counties like Apache, Navajo, Graham, and Greenlee, really nothing comes up. So what that tells you is they're not being targeted for this at this point. And they're probably great places to either relocate to or bug out to when you want to get out the places that are. But if you do it like for Maricopa or Coconino or Pima, it will give you a whole list of hits where they list either programs or institutions that are related to sustainability. You also can use the term resilient. That's a good search term. Smart growth or just smart is a good search term to look at to look up the Internet of Things and sort of tech aspect of this. And so then you just start making a list. And often when you get one institution will link to another. And another thing you can do is just go online to your favorite browser. I use the Brave browser, and it has a built-in search engine. And you use key terms like sustainability, resiliency, social justice, green, equity and equitable.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your work. Okay. Please finish that website, get that template out. We will get that out to Team America nationwide and also Team Global Freedom as well, and make sure we get you a Team America coin for your patriotism. Thank you so much. So fear not. God bless. Keep the faith and hold fast. We will win this. But freedom is taken. So take it.